before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Beloved brothers and sisters, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text speaks about election, about predestination. It's a difficult topic. A topic that is often talked about in the wrong way. So our Christians don't want to talk about election because they think it's not just, it's not fair that God elects some and rejects others. Well, that's a wrong way of talking about it. God does not reject others, but people chose against God. And then God, in his grace, again, comes to them and calls some out of the darkness. Ephesians 1 is often considered to be one of the most difficult passages of the Bible. A lot of people don't really understand what they're reading here. And often, in Bible study, we read over it quickly and don't really go into depth. However, if you try to understand what Paul is saying here in our texts, then we will discover that Paul is rejoicing when he talks about election. He speaks about blessed. He is thankful for what he is saying here, that God predestined us. So Paul teaches us here that predestination, that election, it is for us a reason to rejoice in the Lord. And that is how we should look at it. That is how it has to be preached as well. Not as something that brings uncertainty, am I elected or not? Did God predestine me or not? And if God did not, how then can I be saved? No. Nothing about it all. Paul speaks about election as about predestination as something that we should give thanks for. We are predestined. Paul writes to the Ephesians as the congregation, as members who are elected by God. And if you believe that, then there is no need for uncertainty, for doubt. And that is how we will see this morning, how we will hear the word of God being preached to us. The theme for the preaching of God's word this morning is, we are chosen to rejoice in the Lord. And at first, we see we are chosen by God, second, chosen in Christ, and third, chosen to God's glory. We are chosen to rejoice in the Lord. As I said, the doctrine of election is often misused to call God to account. But we should remember that God himself revealed himself to us in the Bible as a God who loves this world. It is not a desire that this world will perish. John 3 verse 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all those who believe in him would receive eternal life. God loved mankind already when God created mankind before the fall and sin. God created man so that he would live with God in a relationship of love. God created man perfectly because he wanted to love mankind. He did not want mankind to perish because of their sin. It is man who chose against God. Men who sinned, and because they sinned, they hated God. Sin is the result of hate. If mankind would love God with all their heart and soul and mind, they would not have sinned. And there it starts with sin, that mankind did not have the complete love He became God's enemy. Now, Satan is working hard to teach us that we should believe in individualism. That is very important in a Western society. It's all about the rights, about the individual, about our rights, about human rights, which we have over against others. But the Bible teaches us that God does not think in individualist terms. No, He created mankind as a unity. He created Adam and Eve, and in them the entire mankind. Entire mankind was born from Adam and Eve. And God sees them as a unity. So when Adam sinned against God, then in him the entire unity of mankind sins against God. And because of the fallen sin, mankind was scattered, divided, and became filled with hatred. They stood up against each other. They started to hate God and their neighbor. And that is why mankind is divided now. That is why nation rises against nation and people against people. Because of sin, because of the hate. That is not how God created. Individualism and all that, fighting for human rights, that is something that's given to us by the devil. The devil wants to set up human beings against human beings. He wants to divide mankind. He wants to sow discord in this creation which God created so beautifully. And this individualism is the reason that we are accusing God that He is not fair in His decree of election. God decided to save mankind when He decided to put enmity between Satan and the woman, between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman, mankind. Therefore, we should not blame God for people who chose against God. We should not blame God for our own sins. But we should thank God for our salvation. When there was no hope, God gave hope by sending His Son. And then there must be sadness in our hearts when we see others refusing to know God, running away from God. They reject God's love. It is not God who rejects them, but they reject God. Why is it really so bad that people reject God and therefore must die eternal death? Yes, it is. We try to deny it. And also that's the devil works in our hearts, that we deny our situation. But the Bible teaches us that we are by nature inclined to hate God and our neighbor. And if you remember now that God created us to live with Him in a relationship of love, to glorify God, that was the purpose of our creation. And now we are by nature inclined to hate God and the neighbor. That is the opposite, the total opposite of what God created us for. So we are totally worthless for God. And what do you do with something that is worthless? You throw it away, you burn it. So if God's creation, if mankind does not turn back to God and it's not being renewed, it does not have a place in God's beautiful creation anymore. God cannot use it. And therefore everyone who turns against God makes himself worthless in the face of God. And there are God's standards and normative here. God created everything. God determines what is useful for Him and what not. And then we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, Paul says that, or God says through Paul, that you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. Not sick. Not hurt. But dead. Totally dead. Unable to do any good. And then in that situation, God chose us again. We were evil. We were evil and sinful. We could do nothing good for ourselves. We were all God's enemies. We rebelled against God. And it is God's free will that He chose us and did not let us perish into eternal death. He came with His love and we hated Him. And that is why Paul praises God in a text, blessed be the God and Father. The word words are full of praises. Paul is speaking about the secret of God's love for his enemies. Who of you would love his enemies? Who of you would love those who try to kill him, kill you, try to deny you, try to mock you? Well, that is what God did. He loved us while we were still enemies. And his Son loved us while we were killing him, nailing him on the cross. That is the love of God which Paul is speaking about here in our text when he talks about election. He came with love where we hated him. He elected us. And he did so already before the creation. And that is something for us in hard to understand. God's eternal decree, how God knows everything. God not only knows everything, but God also governs everything, and he already did that before creation, from eternity. For us, we are created in time. We can only understand time. We cannot understand, we can grasp eternity, and therefore we cannot understand how God could make this eternal decree of election already before he created us. But he did. God's eternal decree. The goal of the creation was that God started creating heaven and earth, and in 6 days created the earth. The first 5 days he created everything, and on the sixth day he created the animals, and then finally he created man. So when God was creating, his work was to prepare a place for man to live, to prepare a beautiful house, to prepare a beautiful paradise, a garden for man to live. The highest goal of God was to create man, to put him in a garden and to live with him. All that God created, he created because he wanted to make a place for us on this earth to live and to enjoy him, and all to his glory. And then he knew about the fallen sin when he made his eternal decree, and it is part of his plan. God did not create sin. God is not the origin of sin, but God allowed it to happen, and God gives it a place in his plan. And also he knew beforehand that he would choose us again and would not leave us into eternal misery, but call us out of misery to his marvelous light. Our salvation is also part of God's plan, his eternal decree. The church also is part of that plan. And with that, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that the church is the oldest people existing on this earth, the people of God. If you talk about the nations, Egypt is a very old nation, very old people. But there is a people that is older, that already existed at the beginning of the world, and that is God's people. How much other peoples may rise against God, and how much mankind may rebel against God, we know that we have the oldest credentials. We were already God's people from the beginning of the world. And the Christian doctrine, the Christian teaching, is the only teaching that exists from the beginning of the world. It was created together with the world. God's eternal plan is already from before the world was created. And it's contrary to all kinds of philosophies and religions that came up during history, present themselves as better than Christianity, or more reasonable. A lot of philosophies who think that Christianity is just old-fashioned, or it's just created to keep people quiet. Well, we know that Christianity was there already before the first human philosophy was thought up. If you look at all those religions, false religions, and all those philosophies, what they all have in common is that they all believe that mankind can save itself. And they all have in common that they deny our sin and misery. Right away after fallen sin, mankind lives in denial. No, we can create a better world. We can, with the help of God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament still, we can made a better life. People are still hoping that they can find a way to create a better life, but they are fooling themselves. So we go downhill with this creation. The more we continue, the more we progress in the history of the world, and the more we go to the future, the more we see that the mankind is still and more inclined to hate each other, to kill each other. Remember, God's word is truth. From the beginning of the world, God's word is there. We receive the word of God, we receive the heavenly wisdom. We're chosen by God. Second place, you see, we're chosen in Christ. Paul says in the text that he chose us in him, in Christ. Predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Paul says a few times, verse 4, he chose us in him, by predestined us through Jesus Christ. Whenever we speak about election, we should never separate the doctrine of election from Jesus Christ. We are elected in Christ. We are not just elected. Whenever you speak about election, you should say, I am elected in Christ. Not I am elected, I am predestined. No, in Christ. And in Christ, we are blessed with abundance of spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Christ ascended into heaven. And now from heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God, and from heaven, he bestows on us, he showers on us an abundance of blessings through his Spirit. The Spirit takes from other Christ and he gives it to us. We have a treasure in heaven in Jesus Christ. The Spirit makes us share in all his treasures and gifts. He is our mediator. He obtained God's blessings for us, and now he gives them to us through his Spirit. And he, the Son of God, he, Christ, was involved when the triune God made his eternal decree. He already there said that he was going to give himself for our sins to redeem us and to make us share in his blessings. As part of the eternal decree of a triune God, that we would be blessed with abundant blessings. Because Jesus Christ, it is his desire, it is his will to bless us. It is not just the Father who was involved in his eternal decree, it was also the Son and the Holy Spirit. His eternal decree, it is from eternity. What does eternity mean? Often we talk about eternity as time without end, but eternity is much more than time without end. Eternity means limitless in all directions. Limitless, not only without end or without beginning, but complete without limits. We try to understand how our universe is. The most skilled scientists have not been able to find the end of the universe. Imagine, they say the universe keeps expanding. There is no end to the universe. Well, we know that also the universe is created by God. So when we are talking about eternity, then God, in his eternity, he surpasses this creation. His being eternal means he is totally limitless. Nothing is too wonderful for him. Eternity is incomprehensible for us. Therefore, his eternal decree surpasses our understanding. As Isaiah says in chapter 55, where he says, that for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's what we should always keep in mind when we talk about God's eternal decree and everything that has been decided in God's eternal decree, also election. Then we should not try to understand what surpasses our understanding. In Deuteronomy 29, Moses says that secret things are for the Lord, the things revealed to us are for us that we may search them. But the secret things are for the Lord. We should not curiously pray into them. Nowadays, a lot of Christians don't want to even think about doctrines like predestination, that is old-fashioned. No, we don't believe that God is almighty. We don't believe that God predestined us. God is a God who sympathizes with us. He cannot help it either, that we are suffering. And therefore, He sent His one and only Son. And people don't, well, Christians don't accept the authority of Scripture anymore. And they're starting to explain the Bible in their own way. And we maintain that what God reveals to us in the Bible is true. It's the only truth that human beings try to suppress in their wickedness. That it is worldly thinking that is short-sighted. It is those many people who want to explain the Bible differently, who with that give up their only hope. They forget where we came from. Election, God's eternal decree, that shows God shows us a little bit. In revealing to us His eternal decree, God shows us a little bit of His grand scheme, His eternal plan. God opens a little window into His eternal plan for us to see His wonderful way of working. Only a little bit. But only that little bit is much more than the whole world can discover in its own wisdom. It surpasses their wisdom. But this little bit which God reveals to us for His eternal decree, that gives us certainty, it gives us comfort, it gives us certainty in a world in which nothing is certain. There our salvation is certain. Our salvation is certain because it is part of God's eternal decree. It's not part of human religion, but part of God's decree. It did not come up from the created world, but from eternity. It is not subject to change. God doesn't change. God's plans don't change. Only God's plan is infallible. Every human scheme and every human religion and philosophy, they all will fail. But God's work never fails. God chose us in Him, in Christ. Christ saved us. Christ took our place. He executed God's plan of salvation. In Him is being mentioned in verse 3, in verse 4, and then again in verse 7. First half of our text, in Him we have redemption through His blood. So, by repeating that in Him, Paul emphasizes it here, how important it is to remember that it is all in Him. It's all to God's glory. Christ came to make us His own body. It's again a wonderful way in which Christ works. He makes us part of Himself. He unites us with Him. Just like we were united with Adam when Adam fell in sin, now we are also united with Christ when Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and Christ paid for our sins. We were united with Him, so in Him we, mankind, paid for our sins. That is God's way of working. It shows His enormous love also that we are part of Christ's body. We are not just His servant, we are not just His possession, we are even part of His body. In Ephesians 5, where Paul speaks about marriage, he says, nobody ever hates his own body. We are Christ's own body as His bride. He shows us His endless love. Love means that we should not put ourselves in the center. And it is not about us as individual. It is not about individualism. Individualism puts you in individual in the center. But it is not what the Bible teaches us. It's Christ who is in the center. We are part of God's plan. We are part of Christ's body. And God's purpose with it all is the glory of His name. And His name is being glorified by blessing us. So we share in Christ's blessings, because in that way God will be glorified. Everything is based in God. Our future is based in God, and that gives us certainty. And then that's what we see in third place, we are chosen to God's glory. We are predestined to a certain purpose. We are elected for something. Election always has a purpose. If we have election for office bearers, then brothers are elected for a certain purpose. But we have election here, that does not mean that we elect some brothers for something else in Ottawa or whatever. But the election in the church, election for office bearers is election to an office. Election in a country is an election to the office of member of parliament. So also the election of us election in Christ is for a certain purpose. Israel was elected by God to be his people. It does not mean that everyone in Israel was elected to eternal life, but they were elected to be his people in the Old Testament. Levi was elected to serve in his house as priests and Levites. David was elected to be king. And God also elects unbelievers for a certain purpose. God elected Pharaoh so that he would show his power to Pharaoh. Elected for that purpose. Election does not always mean election to eternal life. Except when the Bible indeed mentions it. When we speak about a divine election, as we see in Ephesians 1 verse 4, that Paul says we are elected, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That is the purpose of our election. We will live eternal life with the purpose that we shall be holy and blameless before him. That means that eternal life is not just for ourselves. Sometimes people choose to believe because they want to receive eternal life. They want to live in eternal paradise. But that is not the purpose of our election. Our election is so that we will be holy and blameless for God. It's all to God's glory. And if that is what you don't want, well, then it's too bad, because your eternal life will forever be to glorify God. And shows that those who don't love God don't even want to be in paradise, don't even want to be in heaven, because they hate God. We are elected to be holy and blameless. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice had to be perfect, blameless. Priests had to be holy. They had to sanctify themselves time and again. And it teaches us that we as God's people must be holy, must be perfect. God was teaching his people in the Old Testament that they needed to be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what God gave them, the sacrifices and all the cleansing ceremonies. Now also God is teaching us through his word that we need to be cleansed in Jesus Christ in order to be made perfect. We are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. And as a son, being son of God means that we are the image of God. In 1 John, John says that we cannot love God if we do not love those who are created in God's image. To be the son of God means we are like our Father. We are born of the Father. In Christ we have become children of God. And God is now treating us like sons. He is training us to be his children. God is holy, and therefore we are holy. And God sees us as his children in Jesus Christ. It is through him that we have become God's children. God sees what Christ did for us. And now it is as if it is our own, as if we did it. Holy and perfect. Christ was holy and perfect. Now, by being one with Christ, we also are being made holy and perfect. But then it is not just that God does as if we are holy and perfect in Christ, but we are also going to change now. It is not that Christ only did in our place. Yes, Christ did in our place, but more than that, Christ now also gives us his Holy Spirit so that we are going to be holy and blameless. The Lord is going to change our lives through the Holy Spirit. United with Christ through the Spirit means that we are governed by the same Spirit as Christ was governed. Through the Spirit, Christ was holy and blameless. The same Spirit dwells in us, so we also are going to be holy and blameless. It shows us that election does not make us passive, brothers and sisters. We are not elected for a lazy life in eternal paradise. No, election makes us active. It makes us God's servant. We see God as a God whom we love. God is not just our Father who cares for us always when everywhere in difficult circumstances. God is not just a comforter who comforts us whenever we need comfort. And for the rest, He serves us with everything that we want to receive. We must not see God as a great fulfiller of all our desires. That's often how you read Christians writing about Him. Every time I'm in difficult circumstances, I go to God, and God always saves me. Yes, He does. We may trust in that, but our relationship with God is more than that, much more than that. We live with God in an eternal relationship every day again, and every day we seek to please Him in all that we do. He renews us. He is training us. He is preparing us. Just like a father is training his child for his future. So God is training us, preparing us to live with Him in eternal blessedness, to glorify Him and praise Him. God wants what is good for us, yes, and He will give it to us. He also wants us in return to glorify Him because of His goodness. If we see the abundant blessings that we receive from God, then we are going to glorify God. We're not going to live in complacency. But a relationship with God is a mutual relationship. But not between two equals. Not between two parties who decide to make a covenant. God comforts us, yes. He needs to come to us to comfort us. But He does so for a goal. So that we will love and glorify Him always. God gives us all that we need. So that we will fulfill the purpose for which we are created. Therefore, brothers and sisters, election brings joy because it is God's will that we live in joy. It is God's will that we rejoice in Him and in that way glorify Him. And therefore, election and the doctrine of election brings joy. Don't try to find answers where God does not give answers. But trust in God that what He does is good. Believe that He chose you to be His child. And then have childlike trust in Him. Live as His children. And that will bring glory to your Heavenly Father. Amen.